Welcome back, my friend. My name is Victor Nieves. You're listening to the Victor Nieves Show. We have got a lot of stuff that we need to talk about. First of all, Trump 2024 appears to now be inevitable. We'll hit on that, as well as Joe Biden wanting to import Haitians. And if you haven't heard about what's happening in Haiti, well, that's a real head-scratcher. In addition, there's some really bad news for the modern gender theorist. We'll hit on that and so much more today. But as always, before we jump into that, I always want to start off the program the best way I know how. That's by taking just a second to give glory and honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I tell you what, in the last week, I have received crazy blessings and news and just things that have happened in my life that I am so grateful for, and I always want to use my platform to point back to the most important direction, the only one deserving of glory and honor, and that's Jesus Christ. With that said, let's start off with Trump 2024 is inevitable. We might as well, you know, we might as well start the show off on a good note. We have some pretty heavy stuff we need to cover, so this is a good one to start with. It's my genuine belief at this point in time, despite all of the allegations, despite the, you know, judicial malpractice and the witch hunts and everything else that they are trying to do and everything else that they will in the future try to do to stop Donald Trump from becoming the 47th president of the United States, I fully believe that he is now inevitable, and I think that they know this, right? The reason I came to this conclusion was just watching the way that the left, even some people on the right, you know, the never Trumper, the establishment swamp monster demons, watching the way that they have started to behave, it tells me something's going on. It tells me that maybe they know something that we don't know. You know, there's tremendous value in watching your enemies and saying, what are they up to right now? Well, the way that they're behaving is like 2016 all over again, when they could feel that there was some sort of a shift in the political winds and they didn't know what to do about it. In 2020, they were given a great gift of COVID-19, the largest catalyst for cheating that our country has ever seen. And make no mistake, the 2020 election was ripe with fraud. That was not a free and fair election, not by any stretch of the imagination, but a lot of that was contingent upon COVID. Well, COVID is no longer there, and we've already seen that played out one time. We know the blueprint. It makes it a lot harder for them to do the exact same thing again. So they thought that after they got rid of him in 2020, he was never going to come back. They thought, well, he's getting old, and we've drained him of so much of his money, and the Republicans, you know, the whole J6 thing. They thought that they had a nail in the coffin, and that they had buried this man for good. But I don't know what the dude is made out of. I mean, for real. I have no idea what Donald J. Trump is made of. Maybe it's titanium or something, but the guy just won't give up. He has no quit in him. And the American people, every single time they try to throw something at him, some witch hunt, some investigation, some criminal charge that's completely bogus, every time that they do that, Donald Trump becomes even more successful, even more well-liked by the American people. And simultaneously, not a day goes by that Joe Biden isn't actively making our country a worse place, turning more and more voters from that moderate, I'm not quite sure how I'm going to vote, into the Trump supporters because they're sick and tired of it, despite anything else that might have been going on, right? The mean tweets and the blah, blah, blah. They know their life was better when Donald Trump was president. And again, you're formulating the silent majority is coming back. In 2020, it was kind of a very, well, not kind of, it was an extremely unique political environment. Now, this is almost feeling like a repeat of 2016, and you can see it in their eyes. You can see it in their behavior. They know he's going to win. They feel it down in their bones, and they're terrified of him. To put a little bit of analytical data behind this, Rasmussen just put out a poll that has Donald Trump plus eight in a nationwide poll. You break that down further, you go state by state, because that's what really matters. What you'll notice is all of the swing states, Donald Trump is leading in. If he's not leading, it's like neck and neck, and he's got the edge. I mean, everything is pointing in the direction of Donald Trump winning, and not by like a tiny margin. I mean, I think he's going to win by in the Electoral College by a pretty significant margin. Who knows what the general, the general vote's going to look like? Completely irrelevant. But I think that it's there. Let me know what you think. Really seriously, let me know. Shoot me an email, shoot me a message, or drop me a comment. Let me know what you think about my theory, because it's just, I'm not coming to this conclusion based off my own thoughts or Donald Trump's actions or anything like that. I'm just looking at the way that the left is behaving. They're losing their court cases. They tried to, remove him from the ballot. Obviously, that didn't work. They know that this man is inevitable. And that's wonderful. Now, we have to make that happen. I don't want anyone to get carried away here and think that we just don't have to do anything. I mean, we have to make this happen. But they know. They know it. I'm telling you. I know it. They know it. We all know it. We can feel it. Speaking of which, total MAGA victory is, it's being indicated by more than just that. Christina Bob, who you may remember if you're a longtime listener of the show, I've interviewed Christina Bob multiple times. She's a attorney for President Donald Trump. Well, she has now been selected as the head of the RNC's Election Integrity Program. Now, this has, I guess, maybe existed in the past, but if it did, they didn't do anything, right? In 2020, frustratingly so, the RNC campaigned and fundraised, got a ton of money, claiming that they were going to help Donald Trump with the stolen election, and then they proceeded to do nothing about it. Well, Christina Bob, I'm telling you right now, very intelligent woman. She's a rock star. She's going to do a fantastic job. Maybe we can get her back on the show someday, but Christina Bob is now the RNC, the head of the RNC's Election Integrity Program, and I can bet you that woman is going to be like a dog on a bone. If anything happens, if anything pops up, she's going to be on that like white on rice. The reason we got someone like Christina Bob to be the head of the RNC's Election Integrity Program is because Laura Trump, that's Donald Trump's daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, is now the co-chair of the RNC. She's co-chair alongside a man named Michael Whatley, or Whatley, who was a Trump-endorsed, hand-picked guy to be the chairman of the RNC. As soon as those two get in as the new co-chairs of the RNC, what's the first order of business? They immediately fired more than 60 of the RNC employees. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, things are shaping up in a way that tells me we could have a much, much better future than we even imagined. Now, I'm not one of these people who will be like, oh, it was all according to a grand plan. This was all like the Q stuff. Like this, oh yeah, this was all in accordance with Donald Trump's master plan. The 2020 election was going to happen, and then we would find out who all the bad guys were. I'm not trying to get into all of that. But what I can tell you is God works in weird ways. And sometimes what feels like a step back to us is directly in accordance with his plan. So I don't know if that's what's happening. I don't know if that's what was the case. But I can tell you this much. Without 2020 and without the events that transpired in 2020, we probably would not have the chairperson or the co-chair of the RNC literally be a Trump. We're talking about a Trump is the now. Do you understand the upgrade that we just got in the RNC? The RNC has been one of the most ineffective, worthless, garbage organizations. Grifting, taking tons of money, doing basically nothing effective with it. The RNC has been awful. Ronna McDaniel was terrible. We went from Ronna McDaniel to, again, complete MAGA victory, like totally taking over the RNC. It wasn't that long ago. We were talking about starting like a Patriot Party. We were going to burn the RNC. We were not like literally, don't get carried away. They'll come back to me. Victor told you to burn it. No. Figuratively, like burning down the RNC, having to rebuild it, making our own political party, the Patriot Party, the MAGA, whatever it might be. Instead, I don't know how this happened. Hats off to whoever did this, because it happened pretty well behind the scenes. They just decided, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to just completely take over the entire RNC. That's incredible. This is like potentially, right? The way I see this potentially playing out, Donald Trump wins re-election. We've taken over the RNC. We do really well in the other races. We could be in the best position we have ever been, at least in my lifetime. I mean, you know, going back like 30, 40, 50 years, we could be in the best position we could have even hoped to be. And some of it might not have been possible if it weren't for 2020. I say all this to say, don't ever lose hope. Don't ever be the person who gets black-pilled and who starts to hang their head low and say, nothing we do is going to change anything. There's no hope. Listen, I'm looking at hope. I see hope all around us. Don't give up. This is something that I have said in the past, but I strongly believe that it bears repeating, and that is that it is beyond time to ban, to abolish, to demolish, to remove, to throw away, to completely obliterate the ATF. The ATF should not exist. It is a horrible, horrible agency. It's completely and entirely antithetical to the Second Amendment. And recently I was just reminded, you know, I really hate the ATF. Recently I was reminded one of the reasons that I despise them so much, and that's because maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, it was the anniversary of the beginning of the siege of the compound at Waco, Texas. And if you're not familiar with that, homework assignment, look into that one. I won't rehash the entire thing, but long story short, in Waco, Texas, the ATF initiated a raid on a compound full of admittedly weird people, but American citizens that had never had a day in court. And the compound was full of women and children. Now, they knew that this group of admittedly weird people were armed and things like that, but they didn't care. They were after the leader, a man named David Koresh, a guy who regularly left the compound and went to the grocery store. They could have arrested him while he was in town. But no, they wanted to be macho. They wanted to, I don't know, prove some sort of a point following Ruby Ridge. Another little homework piece, you know, look into that one as well. And they just storm this compound. Well, it starts a siege, lasts a whole long time. At the end of it, they kill like dozens and dozens of Americans, including tons of women, tons of children. And this was a horrible nightmare. Well, every year, the ATF, at the anniversary of that, they post some sort of a Twitter page, you know, or a Facebook page post or something, where they brag about it. They like, you know, will post with the rubble behind them. They're like boasting about the fact that they massacred innocent Americans. Completely insane. Well, that reminded me of why I hate the ATF so much. And then, you know, while it's already fresh on my brain, I come across this video, and you may have seen this by now, you may not have. It's very funny. I encourage you to find it and watch it if you haven't already. But a so-called firearm expert with the ATF on video. I mean, this is so embarrassing. How do you even publish something like this when you're the ATF? On video, their so-called firearm expert tried to field strip a Glock, which if you're not like a gun person, you're not intimately familiar with how you field strip a pistol, it's not hard. It's not hard at all. Listen, I am not some like hardcore, I mean, I'm a hardcore Second Amendment guy, but I'm not like a military veteran. I'm not a former police officer or something like that. I'm just a regular guy. I have my guns. I know how to use them. I'm trained with them. I'm not trying to like sell myself short here, but there's people who are like really trained firearm enthusiasts. That's not me. I'm just a normal guy. But if you handed me a Glock, and I don't even carry a Glock, okay? I carry a Sig. But if you handed me a Glock and you're like, hey, Victor, I need you to field strip this, you bet your bottom dollar I'll figure it out. It ain't that hard. Most pistols are very similar, very straightforward. I'm sure there's like weird exceptions to the rule. But if you are the firearm expert of the ATF, do you understand? Like, there's a different, you're supposed to play by a different rule set. It's okay if you hand me a foreign firearm and I'm like, I'm not quite sure how the best way to take this thing. Is it this pin? Do I have to, you know, move the slide back a little bit? If it's somewhat difficult for me, a random guy, to take it down, okay. You know, even that might be a little bit embarrassing. I'm not going to lie. That might honestly be like a little bit emasculating as a man if I failed to be able to field strip a Glock. But the ATF firearm expert looked like a bumbling buffoon. I mean, this guy looked like someone. Have you ever in your life, have you ever encountered someone who's too prideful to admit they don't know how to do something? and then you watch them try to do that thing, and you just know that they were lying, right? That you know that they didn't know how to do it. They're like, oh yeah, I've ridden four-wheelers my whole life. And then you sit them down on a four-wheeler and they have no idea what to do. Like, which one's the gas? You know, it's awkward. It's really, really awkward. It's embarrassing. Or like if you're a fisherman and you go fishing with an open face rod and reel combo and you hand it to somebody and you're like, you know how to use it, right? And they're like, yeah, totally. And they hold it upside down or like, you know, like it's a push button rod and reel. Like, it's awkward. You look at that and you're like, oh, okay, so you don't know what you're doing. That's how it was, okay? If you watch the video of this ATF firearm expert, you're like, oh, okay, hang on. He told us that he knew what he... No, he has no idea what he's doing. And it just highlights the stupidity of the entirety of the ATF. That is... the body that's supposed to be the ones regulating your guns. They're the ones who are so smart, they're so knowledgeable about firearms, that they get to tell you what you can and cannot have, right? They get to make up these stupid rules. They do it all the time. They get to tell you, a law-abiding American citizen, that you're going to be a felon overnight because of a piece of plastic that you purchased legally. I mean, you talk about bump stocks, you talk about, you know, all of these other, the pistol braces. Constantly, they're changing their minds, they're flip-flopping. You know, Congress and the ATF, they come up with these ridiculous rules about, oh, well, if your barrel is under this many inches, or if it, you know, if you have a forward-facing or vertical grip on your pistol, it's like a felony. These people don't know what they're talking about. And in the exact same way that it would be entirely inappropriate for me, a guy who has, for example, no knowledge of nuclear reactors, it would be so inappropriate for me to be the guy who regulates nuclear reactors, having no knowledge whatsoever of that topic. In the same way, it's grossly stupid and laughable for these people in the ATF that know nothing about these firearms to come to you and be like, yeah, well, I'm the expert on it. Okay, sure you are, buddy. And to add another layer to that, the most important layer, obviously, is that they shouldn't even exist. The ATF, their existence is a smack in the face of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment directly prohibits things like the ATF, because every single federal firearm law, every firearm law at any level for that matter, is a direct violation of the Constitution of the United States. It is a direct violation of your Bill of Rights as an American citizen. Shall not be infringed is not hard language to understand. The founders were very, very explicit. It was as if they sat down and they wrote the Second Amendment and they said, how can we make it so simple that even a politician will have no difficulty understanding this? And it shall not be infringed. Let's finish it off, make our point very clear. Shall not be infringed. What does the federal government do? They say, hey, let's come up with an entire body just to infringe. You understand, history lesson, that every single time a tyrannical government wants to do something tyrannical, step number one is to disarm the people. A general rule of thumb is that if your government is trying to take your guns from you, they're doing that because they're about to do something for which you would shoot them. Now, I'm not encouraging you to go and shoot any... Do not do that. Don't tell anybody, oh, Victor told me to... No. I'm telling you to observe a historical fact that when governments want to kill their people, when they want to subjugate them, when they want to enslave them, when they want to tremendously violate the rights of their people, what is step number one? Step number one is to disarm them, which, by the way, 1775, the shot heard round the world, that's what the British were doing. That's why we had the battles of Lexington and Concord. If they try to disarm you, now you know why. Earlier in the show, I had mentioned that we were going to talk about Joe Biden and his head-scratching desire to import boatloads, not just a couple, but boatloads of Haitians into Florida. Now, if you don't know what's going on in Haiti, you have probably been spared some pretty nasty news. So I hate to be the guy to break this one to you. Don't shoot the messenger. But Haiti is currently being essentially ruled by a violent gang member who calls himself Barbecue. Now, the reason that this man calls himself Barbecue is because he is a cannibal. A for real cannibal. Like, this isn't a guy who just says he's a cannibal. Like, he's posting pictures and videos and stuff like that. Images are coming out of Haiti. They're eating people. Like, in the streets. Like, they're killing their enemies, cooking them in the streets, and eating them. These are for real cannibals, not like something out of a TV show. Like, this is legitimate cannibalism. Well, I will say, understandably so, with that in mind, there are a lot of people who are probably about to want to leave Haiti. And Joe Biden has already made it clear the administration is preparing to escort literally boatloads of Haitians into Florida amidst all of this insanity. Now, really quickly, I want to throw this out there. You might remember, you might not, it's been a while, many news cycles ago, Donald Trump called Haiti, I'm going to use the less colorful term, a crap hole. He said Haiti is a crap hole. You know, there are some crap hole nations. The left immediately went to bat for Haiti. And they said, oh, Haiti's already great. They even printed out T-shirts, like celebrities printed out T-shirts talking about how Haiti is so wonderful and Haiti is so great. Well, they're awfully quiet. You know, I don't know what happened. Where'd all that energy go? I thought Haiti was great. I thought Haiti was like the best place in the world. You guys wanted to vacation there, and wow, it's so wonderful. And then what changed? Oh, they started eating people. Eating people. Now listen, I don't know what would qualify a country as a crap hole in your mind. I can only speak for myself. But if you're asking me, what would be one of the things that might would qualify a country to be called a crap hole? You know, high up on that list would be cannibalism. Or if it's run by people who are cannibals, right? That might would be one of those things. And Joe Biden wants to import a bunch of these people here. Now, I want to be really clear. Not everyone from Haiti is a cannibal, okay? The guy who's running it is like openly, he calls himself Barbecue. But not everyone from Haiti is a cannibal, and Joe Biden wants to bring them all in here. The problem should be pretty obvious, is that this administration has a track record of not vetting anyone at all. They just let anyone and everyone in. And in the same way that that's a really bad idea when you're talking about importing boatloads of folks from a terrorist country, a country run by terrorists, it might also, hang with me here, going out on a limb, it might also be a bad idea to import a bunch of people who are, you know, in a country run by cannibals, just in case, when you don't vet them at all, just in case you might have a couple cannibals come in. Let me ask you a question. Be really honest. You don't have to tell anyone else, right? This is just between me and you, and I can't even see you right now. So, you know, complete anonymity. I want you to think about this really quickly. If Joe Biden imports, I don't know, 5,000 people from Haiti, and they build an entire new town, like a little town out somewhere in Florida, for all of the people from Haiti, would you go live there? I mean, be honest with yourself. Would you want to go and live there? Say the housing prices are like really great or something. Maybe there's some big financial incentive, whatever it might be. A compelling reason to go there. Would you do it? Would you want to go and live in a place that was completely full of folks that had just come here from Haiti, knowing darn good and well that the Biden administration is not vetting these people and that there are cannibals on the island of Haiti? Listen, if you just answered no, you're lying. If you answered yes, that you would want to go there, you're lying to yourself. The only honest answer is no. No one in their right mind is going to sign up to be going and living in a community entirely full of people who just came here from Haiti, especially with the circumstances going on right now. And that doesn't make you a bad person. Listen, that does not in any way mean that you are a bad human being. What it does, however, mean is that the idea of bringing these people to our country by the boatloads is inherently a bad idea, and you know that it's a bad idea. What the liberals and maybe the bleeding heart people and the whatever it might be, what these people are assuming, I guess, when it comes to bringing all of these people into our country, is that they're not going to have to deal with it, right? That's the reason that you're okay with it when you're just dumping them randomly into Florida. Because you're assuming you don't actually have to deal with it. You don't have to live around these people. But as soon as I tell you that now you have to go and live in that community where they all are, suddenly you feel differently about it. Why is that? It's because you're okay with winning the brownie points, assuming that this is you, right? It might not apply. But assuming that this is you, that means that you're okay with receiving the social gratification of the brownie point of liberalism. Oh, look at you. You're so nice. You know, the liberals will give you your round of applause. You did such a good job. You wanted to bring in all of these people from the third world. Yay! You want that. You desire that. The validation and the gratification. You are more okay with getting that. And you don't mind so much if someone else has to live with them. You don't mind if someone else's community has a bunch of people from Haiti dropped off, because you don't think that you're going to have to live with the consequences. Just like all of these sanctuary cities and these sanctuary states, they were thousands of miles. Oh, I'm up in New York City. I'm not going to have to deal with any illegal aliens. Let's make it a sanctuary and we'll get all of our brownie points and we'll talk the talk, but we have no danger of walking the walk. Suddenly, as soon as they have to walk that walk, their tune changes. The truth is, when you import, listen, this is like an offensive statement to some people. I don't really know why. When you import the third world, you become the third world. And there is nothing wrong with not wanting our country to become the third world. If you bring in everyone else from all over the world, right, then you will make the United States like everywhere else all over the world. And I am not saying that there's not an appropriate time and place to let in people who really are in a bad situation. We say, hey, listen, I get it, you know, you're looking for temporary refuge. Like, we can have a system in place for that, but it needs to be very strict. It needs to have a vetting process that is bulletproof. Because if, you know, listen, we have run into so many stories lately of illegal aliens killing people. My listeners in Missouri, you'll know about this one. There was a woman, an illegal alien from, in this case, Venezuela, in St. Louis, Missouri, who just killed a 12-year-old boy. His name is Travis Wolf. He was getting a car crash. She crossed over the lanes, head on, slams into this kid and his family while they're driving home. The poor kid, he got rushed to the hospital. I'm sure they did a great job. I think he went to Children's, which is a great hospital in St. Louis, but they couldn't save him. Unfortunately, he passed away. I think he passed away on March 6th. This is a kid who had his entire life ahead of him, and it was stripped from him by an illegal alien. We had Lincoln Riley. I mean, we had Lincoln Riley and all of these other stories that we just hear. It's like every month there's another two or three stories of an innocent American citizen being killed by an illegal alien. We cannot allow that to happen. If our system is allowing innocent Americans to be killed, to be murdered in their own country, in their own backyard, by people who shouldn't even be here, then we're doing something wrong. We have to put a stop to illegal immigration, the sex trafficking, the drug trafficking, all of these other issues that are one and the same, that go together with our porous borders. They're destroying lives. They're destroying families. These are innocent Americans. For goodness sakes, I understand that we have people who want to be very sweet and very nice and you know, reach out a helping hand and stuff like that to all of these folks around the world who might be in worse circumstances. But how about we start in our own backyard? Why is it that when we want to help people, it's like we skip over the American citizens that need help and we go straight to some foreign third world country? You're walking past your neighbor to go and help somebody who doesn't even know you. That's not a nice immigration policy. That's not some like virtuous idea that you're going to step over your neighbor who desperately needs your help. You're going to bring in some random person that none of you know. And then that person is going to leech off of your resources and potentially stab you. No, that's a completely terrible idea. But we're being told that if you don't support that, then you must be a bad person. I'm sick of it, man. I'm so beyond sick of it. We're losing our national identity. We're losing our culture as a people. We have got to completely shut off illegal immigration. This is a truly make or break issue. We face catastrophic consequences as a people if we don't stop the flow of illegal immigration. And truth be told, at this point in time, we are in such bad straits that we probably need to put a very serious limit on legal immigration and pull that back for just a minute until we figure everything out, right? And alongside with that, there has to be assimilation. We've talked about this before. There has to be assimilation, but it's just so heartbreaking. I'm so sick and tired of hearing stories of innocent Americans dying at the hands of an illegal alien. It should make you sick because it sure makes me sick. Anyways, we'll talk about this real quick. Raphael Warnock, U.S. Senator from the state of Georgia, he has long been saying that the election integrity legislation that has been passed in the state of Georgia is akin to voter suppression. He said this 1,000 times. Well, what's really hilarious about it is that after Georgia passed their election integrity legislation, they have continually had like back-to-back-to-back elections where the voter turnout is record high. Like more people are voting than ever before in the state of Georgia. But the Democrats told you that the Republicans were passing voter suppression acts. Well, Raphael Warnock says, well, hang on, guys, hang on. Just because there are more people voting than ever in the history of Georgia, that doesn't mean that this isn't still election suppression or voter suppression legislation. Raphael, I would love to hear why. I need a little bit of something here, right? This whole argument against election integrity stuff, for one, is evidence that they cheat, okay? When you have an issue with voter ID, it's because you want to cheat. I mean, there's realistically no other explanation for that. If we're being adults about this, common sense, it's because you want to cheat, okay? Let's be real. But if you're saying that this is voter suppression and it doubles like the turnout, like breaking all of these records, that's the worst voter suppression legislation in all of human history. You should be celebrating it because it's having the inverse effect. I had promised I would get to this update that was going to be extremely devastating for the modern gender theorists and all of them. And I don't want to forget about it. So we'll jump in real quick with this. A new study came out. This is a study that came to us out of the state of California that found that the transgender suicide risk doubles. You heard that correctly. Doubles after so-called gender-affirming vaginoplasties. Now, I'm not going to go into an explanation as to what a vaginoplasty is. However, this is a procedure which, if I'm being honest, I can fully understand why this might raise your suicidality. And just as a guy, I wouldn't want to have that done to me. But men in California, and this is a fairly significant survey size. The researchers examined 869 men. It's a significant size who had received this genital destruction is what I'll call it, a genital destruction surgery. They followed them from 2012 to 2018, and they came to a finding that no one should be shocked about. By the way, to anyone who may be like, hey, you know, where are you getting this idea? Was this a published study? Is this just some bogus study? This was published in the American Urological Association and their peer-reviewed Journal of Urology. Okay, so this isn't just like a random, somebody made this story up. This is a peer-reviewed, you know, they always want that. These liberals, they wouldn't believe that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west unless you had a peer-reviewed journal article. It's ridiculous. But anyways, to answer that, yes, this is a peer-reviewed journal article. And 269 men, and they study them, and they find that after the surgery, right, they go in and get mutilated and destroyed, they're twice as likely as the population to try and take their own life. Listen. I do not buy this idea that if someone is mentally well, they're going to try and chop off their own genitals, okay? Call me old-fashioned, call me a square, call me whatever you want. But this idea that there are people out there who have to have their testicles chopped off, otherwise they are going to take their own life, that doesn't exactly inspire me to have confidence in their mental state, right? I got a comment about this. I made a video on TikTok, and I got a comment about this from somebody. They said, gender-affirming care is life-saving care, regardless of what you bigots might say about it. Mind you, this is a comment left on a video talking about this study, which found that they are twice as likely to take their own lives after they receive the snip-snap mutilation surgery. I'm thinking, what are you missing? But they say this. They say, oh, well, this is life-saving care. For gender-affirming snip-snap to be life-saving, that means that you have now painted a picture of a dichotomy where there are only two options. Either option one, somebody does not have their testicles chopped off and they kill themselves, or option number two, they get their testicles chopped off, and allegedly, according to those on the left, they now will not kill themselves. Again, I say, if somebody comes to you and they say, I need to have my testicles chopped off, or I'm going to take my own life, dare I say that individual is not mentally well, okay? That person is suffering from a severe mental illness. And it has always baffled me since day one with this gender-affirming nonsense that anyone out there would say that it's a good idea for the treatment protocol, quote-unquote, treatment protocol, to be that we affirm somebody's delusions. Nowhere else do we ever do that, right? For example, if you have a young woman who is extremely skinny, and she tells you that she thinks that she's really fat. Maybe she has anorexia or bulimia or whatever it might be. If you care about that young lady, you're not going to tell them, yes, young woman, you are morbidly obese and you need to lose weight. She might see herself in that light. When she looks in the mirror, she may genuinely be struggling with her self-image. A lot of people do. This is a very common thing. Body dysmorphia is a very, very common thing. People don't see themselves, you know, it's like your brain. It tricks you into thinking that you're, you know, something that you're not when you look in the mirror. A lot of young women, a lot of young men for that matter, will suffer with certain body image disillusions. They're not seeing what's actually there. You and I look at a young lady, it might say, oh, yeah, no, you're in great health. You're a beautiful young woman. But she might think that she's severely overweight. It would be horribly inappropriate to go up to that young woman who has anorexia and tell her, young lady, you need to lose some weight. You identify as being overweight, so I think we need to just affirm your beliefs. No, you would never do that. That's horrible. You're going to get that young girl killed. In the same way, right? For example, if you have a paranoid schizophrenic, which, by the way, is the only group that has a suicide rate at the same level or higher than the transgender community, but that's neither here nor there. If you went to someone who is a paranoid schizophrenic and you said to them, yes, it's true, the Mexican cartel is hunting you down inside of this Walmart. You need to constantly be looking over your shoulder because I'm confident you believe it, so I believe it. I'm confident the Mexican cartel is trying to get you. You would never affirm the beliefs of somebody who's suffering from severe mental illness in that way. So why is it Then when it comes to the whole transgender issue, we're told that in flip-flop here, we're told that now we are a bad person if we don't go along with somebody's delusions. That's just not how this works. That's not treatment. And the so-called treatment that they're suggesting still leaves somebody two times as likely to try to take their own life. That's not exactly a successful treatment plan. And by the way, encouraging news on this, you may have heard about it. The NIH is cutting this stuff off completely. Over in Britain, the NIH, they're saying, hang on, we're not doing this to kids. We're not going to mutilate a child's body. We're not going to put them on hormone blockers. We're not going to prescribe them these drugs and these chemicals. When the NIH and the folks in the UK, no insult to the folks in the UK, but when they are ahead of us, and even they understand that mutilating a child is not exactly a good idea, yet we still have politicians in the United States who are defending this mutilation, like, to their death. Like, they're like, no, we have to do this. We got something severely wrong with our country. And if you ever hear anybody, this is just a real quick piece of advice. If you ever hear anyone who is a liberal and who is defending this, if you hear them cite some kind of a bogus study, right, they'll say, well, 70% of people who have gender snip-snap surgery, they report that they're more satisfied after they get mutilated. What do you think about that? There are studies out there that claim that people who destroy their own bodies are more satisfied with their lives. The one thing that they don't expect you to know is that those studies are incredibly short-term. Tell them to go find you a long-term study. Oh, all of a sudden, the results are very, very different. There are very few long-term studies that even exist where they look into this. Of those that do, that are like 20-plus year studies, they tell the exact opposite story. This gender-affirming care, people come to regret it. It destroys people's lives. They're still just as suicidal, if not more suicidal. And one of the problems that they run into, literally, is that the people aren't even still alive 25 years later. When they try to do a long-term study and figure out, is this actually a good thing to do? They have a hard time connecting with the people. Suddenly, the number of folks responding drops by half. Why do you think that might be? Listen, these children are being treated as guinea pigs. It's like they're being told, well, you know, who knows what's going to happen when we give a male a whole bunch of estrogen? It's not like we have reason to believe that that's, you know, cause for cancer, which it is. We have reason to believe that it's cause for cancer. It's not like, you know, it's going to cause any kind of serious lasting problems to their organs or anything, which it does. I mean, we have existing, medical literature, scientific literature that indicates for men not having enough testosterone is extremely detrimental to your organ health. Yeah, but don't worry about that. Definitely prescribe a 13-year-old boy so much estrogen that his body no longer knows what it is and he starts to grow breasts. I'm sure nothing bad's going to happen to that. Totally doesn't sound like something out of a, you know, horror movie with some weird scientist that experiments on children. We'll just see if those kids are even alive in 25 years. That's what they're doing. This stuff matters. This stuff matters so much. Please don't turn a blind eye to that. Don't ignore what they're doing to these children, because the children deserve better. They deserve to have people protect them, but unfortunately, they're being thrown under the bus. Anyways, that's all the time we have for today. Till next time, keep me in your prayers, keep your country in your prayers. God bless.